السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد، فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من عز حزينا ألبسه الله التقوى وصلى على روحه في الأرواح، ومن عز مصابا كساه الله حلتين من حلل الجنة لا تقوم لهما الدنيا، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, the month of Rabi'ul Awwal is generally a month where Muslims across the globe express their love and affiliation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you will find that in this regard, there are many jalsas that are held, there are conferences that are held. I personally have attended many conferences globally where every aspect of the life of the Nabi of Allah is unpacked in the most amazing way by scholars and ulama. And like the Arabic poet says it so beautifully, that ما إن مدحت محمدا بمقالتي ولكن مدحت مقالتي بمحمدي. He says, I have not elevated the status of the Nabi of Allah because of my poetry, but on the reverse, my poetry has been elevated because of his name. But you and I speaking about the Nabi of Allah, this does not add greatness to the life of the Nabi of Allah, not one bit. He is exalted by the very declaration of Quran Kareem that وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have raised your dhikr, we have raised your mention. To what extent? When he went on Mi'raj, Allah had given him that glad tiding that Allah ذُكِرْتَ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي, that O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from this point onwards, my name would not be taken, except that my name would be taken with your name. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In fact, I intended speaking on something Allah had put certain thoughts into my heart, so I thought I'd share that with you. Friends and elders, very often we find that we are faced with a situation where a near or dear one, friend or relative, is struck with some tragedy. Sometimes financial, sometimes physical, sometimes he loses a beloved one. As a Muslim, what is our moral obligation to our fellow Muslims? When we find them in such a situation, how do we morally support them? How do we aid them? How do we console them? What are the guidelines that Islam has provided for us in such a situation? We are a universal ummah and we share the challenges of each and every person in this world. We are universal ummah and we share the challenges of each and every person of this in this world, irrespective of the ethnic background that a person might come to, a person might subscribe. But if a person is the reciter of the kalima, we share a common ground, we share a common platform. The first advice that the Nabi of Allah gives us is that la tudhhiri shamatata li akhik fayarhamuhu Allah wa yabtalik. That never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. Never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. Nabi alayhi salam said, very soon Allah would grant him deliverance, Allah will grant an opening for him and grant him deliverance from that crisis and that tragedy, ويبتليك, and Allah will inflict a similar crisis on you. My brothers, you and I are living in such a time that there are many people in this world, when a person is going through crisis, they rejoice over the tragedy of others. They rejoice over the tragedy of others. And I think we can go one step further. They don't rejoice, they desire the downfall of others. How often doesn't it happen? Somebody gets divorced. Outwardly you sympathize, but in your heart you're happy that, you know what, he deserves it. Somebody goes into insolvency, some difficulty, the man deserves it. You look at the man, you smile at him in the face. And here again, this ties up with the prophecy of my Nabi. What did he say? يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ أَقْوَامٌ. That prior to Qiyamah, certain nations will make their presence on this earth. The words of my Nabi, إِخْوَانُ الْعَلَانِيَةِ أَعْدَاءُ السَّرِيرَةِ. Who will express brotherhood externally, but there would be enemies from within. Like they say in English, you know, so beautifully, that I love the one who openly hates me, but I hate the one who pretends to love me. I love the man who openly hates me, but I hate the man who pretends to love me. My brothers, if you got an issue with someone, tell the man on his face, I dislike you, I don't like you. Don't smile, don't greet, but your heart is dirty. What good is there in you? So my Nabi said, close to the end of time, there will be certain people, and my brothers, we see living statistics of this. There are people outwardly, they will express joy and happiness, yet in their hearts, they rejoice over your tragedy. They desire your tragedy. You know, whilst we study the deviation of the pagan Arabs prior to the advent of Islam, and each and every one of us will agree that the pagan Arabs prior to Islam, they were sinking in darkness. But wallahi, my brothers, even the Arab man at that time in those dark days had certain sterling qualities in his life that the modern day world cannot match those qualities that were found in the pagan Arabs in those dark days of Islam. And who knows, perhaps it was in relation, like the Quran says, وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. Allah says, by the revelation of the Quran Kareem, we have honored the entire Arab world. The language of Arabic has become beloved because of Quran Kareem. Al-Qama bin Harith. My brothers, I beg for your undivided attention. Al-Qama bin Harith. Who at the time of accepting Islam, he comes to the Nabi of Allah and he speaks about those qualities that were found in the pagan Arabs prior to Islam. And Nabi alayhi salam is totally impressed. So Nabi alayhi salam said, speak to me about these qualities. He said, number one, ash-shukru 'inda ar-raqa, gratefulness on moments of prosperity, not pride, not arrogance, but gratefulness on moments of prosperity. You know, my brothers, often it happens when I have achieved something, I attribute it to myself. When there is some downfall, we attribute it to the Almighty Allah. When there is some prosperity, you know, I sign the deal, the money is in the bank, my competence, my know-how, my skill. But when the deal doesn't materialize, make dua. What can I do? Allah is testing. Make dua, Allah is testing. So the first quality that was found in the pagan Arabs prior to Islam was ash-shukru 'inda ar-raqa, gratefulness on moments of prosperity. We look at the practice of aqiqah. You know, when a child is born, as a token of appreciation, we slaughter the animal. When we look at the history of aqiqah, this goes back to the ancestry of the Nabi of Allah. No, it goes back to the time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the Nabi of Allah was born, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he brought him to the Baytullah, announced his birth, named him Muhammad as a token of appreciation. He slaughtered that animal. The Nabi of Allah then grew up. He showed us the benefits, taught us the dua, and gave it a Islamic flavor. Allahumma hadhihi aqiqatu fulan ibn fulan, damuha bidamihi wa lahmuha bilahmi wa jilduha bijildi wa azmuha bi'azmi. What I'm saying, the Arab man, even in those dark days, gratefulness in moments of prosperity. Number two, was sabru 'inda al-bala, patience in moments of difficulties. Whatever difficulty comes your way, to persevere, to endure. Number three, was sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, honesty in meeting. When you give a man your word, honor your word. Unfortunately, today no man honors his word. that Friday never comes, that 30th of the month never comes, the end of the year never comes, and then you tell the man, you can dream about your money. What did my Nabi say? Al-aidatu daynun. You promise a man that verbal utterance that you have uttered, it's like a debt on your shoulders. Today Allah forbid no man honors his word, and we think absolutely nothing of it. You're owing people money. فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. Study the verses of Quran Kareem, 18 Jews. Nabi Ali Salam's, the Quran says that your feet will slip. Study the tafsir of this verse. Mufti Shafi Saab has written that person, of course this is not the topic, but just to digress, it's so prevalent in the community. You go on borrowing money or you're owing people money, and then you make false promises. You don't want to pay, and your intention is not to pay. Study the tafsir of this verse. Such a person should fear that he will leave this world without Iman and Islam. وَالصِّدَقُ فِي مَوَاتِنِ الْلِقَى. When you give a man your word, honor your word. And number four, وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَى. Happiness on the bitter choices of fate. Happiness on the bitter decisions of fate. Many a times it might not be appealing and striking, but to accept that this is the decree of my Allah. How often haven't we heard, why my child, why my husband, why my mother, what have I done? We start fighting with Allah. What does my Allah say? مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. Such stern words in Hadith Qudsi, that person who will not be content and satisfied on my divine distribution, that person who will not endure the difficulties I will bring in his life out of my own wisdom, tell him that he considers me incapable of being Allah. Tell him to look for another Allah other than I. وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَةَ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَىٰ. And the next quality that was found in the pagan Arabs prior to Islam was that never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. Never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. My brothers, we all know what happens. Somebody gets divorced, somebody's son is on drugs. Abu Ayyub Ansari is at home. His wife comes to him and she says, you heard the rumor about Aisha. So Abu Ayyub Ansari looks at, you know, often it happens. You come home, the wife says, you heard this, you heard that. Ghibat starts from our own homes. You know, the other day a brother phoned me. He said, Molana, you know what, so and so got married again. So I said, so what? It's none of your business, my brother. Are you putting food on the man's table? It's none of your business. Abu Ayyub Ansari tells his wife, you are my wife. Will you ever commit an act of immorality? She says, me, I will never do that. Aisha is the wife of Muhammad. Do you think she will ever do something like that? And then he said, oh my wife, don't discuss other people's lives within my home. How many of us do that today? I mean, we go home and then ghibah starts from our own homes. So that's the first thing the Nabi of Allah teaches us. That never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of your enemy, never mind your own brother. Now the hadith I quoted before you, what an amazing hadith. Nabi alayhi salam says, man azza hazinan, whoever will console a person in any problem, in any difficulty. And let me tell you, my brother, in this day and age, we are inundated. If you can only take out a sympathetic ear. You heard of someone meeting up in an accident. I mean, you come to the masjid, the man reads salah next to you. You know, you haven't seen him for the last 3 days, that you bother to inquire. You know, give him a phone call. How are you doing? Is there anything I can do? Somebody's son met up in an accident. You might not be in a financial position to aid the man. Somebody in some other town, pick up the phone. I heard, my brother, your son met up in an accident. He's hospitalized. You know, is he okay? I cannot come to your side, but wallahi, I am making dua for you. Wallahi, I am making dua for you. What did my Nabi say? Man azza hazinan. Whoever will console a person in any problem, in any difficulty, أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى. Allah will make him wear the garment of piety. وَسَلَّى عَلَى رُوحِهِ فِي الْأَرْوَاحِ. And Allah will shower his choicest blessings upon that soul. مَنْ عَزَّى مُصَابًا. Whoever will console a person who is distressed. أَلْبَسَهُ اللَّهُ حُلَّتَيْنِ مِنْ حُلَلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make him wear two garments of Jannah, which is more valuable than this entire world and whatever it contains. What a beautiful deen we enjoy. You know, when you go and visit a sick person, how do you console the man? You know, how do you morally support him? You know, the person has got stage 5 cancer. Allah protect us. You know, you go to the hospital. What's the problem? I've got stage 5 cancer. You tell the man, you know what? My wife passed away from the same sickness. You're going to kill the man before his time. I mean, give the man some hope. What did my Nabi say? What an amazing deen we enjoy. Nabi alayhi salam said, إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي أَجَلِي فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَرُدُّ شَيْئًا وَيَطِيبُ بِنَفْسِي. When you go and visit a sick man, encourage him. Don't discourage him. Tell him, you know what? You're looking so much better. You know, you're looking well. It's only a matter of time. You know, you'll be out of the clinic, out of the hospital. I'll meet you at home. I'll meet you at the masjid. What did my Nabi say? Your moral support, the few words that you had given him, will not prolong the man's life, nor will it alter the reality, but it will bring joy to the heart of your brother, and that is enough. When you walk out of the clinic, you will say, at least, Molana came to see me. The Musalli from the masjid came to see me. My brother came to see me. My brothers, do we do that? What did my Nabi say? You go and visit a sick person. فَلَهُ مِثْلُ عَجْرِ. He will be in that sickness, in that pain, in that suffering. But because you had given him that moral support, Allah will give you the same reward that that man is getting in his sickness. Allah will give you the same reward that that man is getting in his sickness. Perhaps it would be opportune, my brothers, the time of Jumu'ah is very limited, you know, to unpack the incident of Ayyub alayhi salam. What an amazing Nabi of Allah he was. Sabran ka sabri Ayyub. Unparalleled patience. Allah speaks about Ayyub alayhi salam in 4 different surahs of the Quran Kareem. In Surah Nisa, Surah Anbiya, Surah An'am, and Surah Sad. Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with every privilege, whether it was health, wealth, affluence, children, you know, animals, whatever a person could dream about, Allah blessed him with every privilege. Listen to this, my brother. Allah is in total control. Allah can turn the condition of any man at any time. Fir'aun, a man who claimed divinity, Bayezid Bustami has written that Fir'aun, not a single day in his life did he ever experience a headache. That was the perpetual affluence that Allah had given him. Somebody comes to Fir'aun and whispers into his ears that, oh Fir'aun, a child is going to be born and you would lose your kingdom at the hands of that young man. Musa alayhi salam was not born, but from that day, that was a different Fir'aun. That was a different Fir'aun. Allah can change the condition of any man at any time. Ayyub alayhi salam enjoyed every privilege. Then comes the test of Allah upon Ayyub alayhi salam. Listen to this. All his farms started burning out. He lost his farms. He lost his orchards. Scholars have written, as far as the eye could see, was the orchards and the farms of Ayyub alayhi salam. All his animals burned to death. The roof of his house caved in, causing all the occupants, Tafsir al-Qurtubi, the roof of his house caved in, causing all the occupants of his house, that included his 14 children, to die instantly. I can say it, my brother, you can hear it. Ask a mother who has lost one child. She will never forget about the child for the rest of her life. At one instance, he loses his farms, all his wealth. He loses all his children. That's not all. Like we say, it's not raining, it's pouring. The tunnel is only getting darker. He then develops ulcers on his entire body. Only his tongue and his heart was protected from that particular sickness that he had developed. Sabran ka sabri Ayyub. Unparalleled patience. You know, it is written about the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam. It was so great. When Allah tested him like this, and I will tell you later on to what extent. So one day he gets up in that condition and he said, "Oh me Allah, I am totally grateful for these challenges that you have brought in my life, because potentially the wealth, the children and the affluence that you had given me would have taken me away from you. You have taken away those things that potentially could become an obstacle for me gaining your proximity and your closeness. Oh me Allah, you have taken all that away from my life. Now you and I enjoy the closeness." The sickness started taking a toll on the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. I always say, my brother, you know, we often sympathize. You go to a hospital, you sympathize with the person lying on their hospital bed. How many of us sympathize with the wife of that man who spends nights on ends? You know, with the children who are taking turns. Just the other day, the brother told me, he said, "Walana, we are three sons. You know, we take 12-hour shifts." How often do we sympathize with those that are living with a sick person? Many a times, they go through more difficulty than the sick person themselves. So nonetheless, Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam, her name was Rahma. And she literally was a mercy unto her husband. She was from the progeny of Yusuf alayhi salam. وَكَانَتْ مِنْ أَحْفَادِ Yusuf. So one day she comes to Ayyub alayhi salam and she says, "Oh Ayyub, don't you think it is high time to ask Allah? You are suffering for so many years. Don't you think it is high time to ask Allah to replace this adversity with prosperity?" Ayyub alayhi salam gets up. A Nabi of Allah is conscious of Allah in the midst of prosperity and in the heart of sickness. He looks at his wife, "Kam labistu fi raqa?" How many years of prosperity did we enjoy? So she says, 80 years, 8 decades of prosperity. "Kam labistu fil bala?" How many years of difficulty? So she says, 7 sanawat, 7 years of difficulty. Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife and he said, "Ama astahyi an atluba min Allahi raf'a bala'i wa ma qadaytu fihi muddat rafa'i?" When I enjoyed the divine privileges of my Allah for 80 years and my Allah has only tested me for 7 years, patiently I will bear the day Allah decides my cure well and good. That was the level of sabr in the life of Ayyub alayhi salam. Open Musnad Ahmad in Kitab al-Zuhd, it is written that one day shaitan comes in a disguised form to the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. Like today you find, my brother, somebody is going through some challenge, some difficulty. You know, you go to medical doctors, they say we cannot find the problem. Then we start running from this one to that one, this one to that one. You know, we call them ghostbusters. "I can do this, I can do that, I have this power." And then we all are searching for supernatural. Somebody who can show me something which everybody else cannot show. This man has got an ability. My brothers, don't trespass that line of iman and shirk. Nonetheless, shaitan comes to the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam in a disguised form and said, "You know what? Your husband is suffering. I can treat your husband. I can cure your husband. But there's only one thing I want from you. After I've treated and cured your husband, I want you to praise me and I want you to acknowledge the fact that I have treated and cured your husband." The wife of Ayyub alayhi salam, a desperation knew no bounds. So she tells this person, who was shaitan in a disguised form, that, "No problem, I'll meet with my husband, let me discuss it with him, I'll revert back to you." So she comes to Ayyub alayhi salam and she said, "I met with the doctor. He claims to say he can treat you. Not only will he treat you, he will even cure you. But after he has cured you, he wants me to praise him and he wants me to acknowledge the fact that he has treated and cured you." Ayyub alayhi salam gets up. He said, "Oh my wife, don't you know that is the statement of shirk? How can you attribute the quality of cure to a creation other than Allah? If somebody will cure me, it is Allah. How can you attribute the quality of cure to anyone else besides Allah?" He said, "Oh my wife, if Allah gives me cure, I will lash you 100 times. Nonetheless, sometime later, there were 2 people in the time of Ayyub alayhi salam. You know, and one of them passed a comment. He said, "Ayyub, you have done something wrong in your life. That is why you're suffering like this." My brother, somebody else's son is like my son. Another man's home is like my home. Somebody is going through some challenge. No, Allah is showing him. He must open his eyes. It's not for me to judge. It's not for you to judge. Somebody is going through some difficulty. Make dua. Make dua for that person. So one person comes to him and he says, Ayyub, you have done something wrong in your life. That's why you are being punished like this. Ayyub alayhi salam turns to Allah. He said, Oh, my Allah, for 7 long years, I have persevered, I've been patient. This man has leveled this allegation against me. Oh, my Allah, you now decide my cure. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna wajadannahu sabira. We give Ayyub the certification of patience. Stand up, O Ayyub. Urqud birijlik. Strike your heel on the ground. Hadha mughtasalun baridu wa sharab. There's gushes out the water. Drink from the water and take ghusl in this water. The moment he drinks from the water, Allah cures him internally. He takes ghusl in the water, Allah cures him externally. Allah restores his youth. The riwayat of Ibn Hibban, wa albasahu Allah. Allah sends down the garment from Jannah. His wife used to earn and provide. And right, like my brothers, when we look at marriage, what is the object of marriage? Allah Ta'ala says, marriage should provide one of two things, love and mercy. Open Madarikul Tanzil and Qurtubi. What do they write? They say that love translates itself in the initial stage of the marriage life. And mercy translates itself in the latter part of a marriage life. So, you know, like a person who's married for 30 years, you know, you will find it strange that the man is still telling his wife, I love you. I mean, you'll say that. Like they say, you know, when would you find a husband opening and closing the car door for his wife? Either the wife is new or either the car is new. So you express love in the initial stage of the marriage life. But mercy, how often doesn't it happen? You know, when the husband is living an affluent life, like we will say things are honky-dory, then the wife enjoys being the respective spouse. But when the husband goes into some financial difficulty, how many Muslim marriages have broken up? How many Muslim marriages? Because the husband can't provide for me any longer. You know, you promised my daughter this, you promised her that. You can't give her, she'd rather come back home. This is not what Islam has taught us. I mean, this is where the test of time is. So Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, his wife used to earn and provide. She comes in the evening, she looks at this young, handsome man sitting. She looks at him, أَيْنَ الْمُبْتَلَى أَلَّذِي كَانَ هَاهُنَا. My aged husband was sitting here, where is he? Ayyub alayhi salam looks at his wife, I am your husband and this is how Allah has cured me. I am your husband and this is how Allah has cured me. After Allah had cured him, he then realizes he has to lash his wife 100 times. He told his wife, if Allah grants me cure, I will lash you 100 times. Allah makes divine intervention. What does the Quran say? وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِغَسًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَسْ. Allah says, Ayyub, your wife has been obliging. You're not going to break your qasam. You're going to lash 100 times. But I will make a divine intervention. What you do, find 100 blades of thin grass. 100 blades of thin grass. Grass. 100 blades of thin grass. Make it into a bundle. One bundle. Touch your wife once. And that is lashing 100 times. Subhanallah. My brothers, what does Islam teach us? My Nabi, one day he's sitting on the pulpit. He looks around him and he says that, Aina hadha rajul? Oh my Sahaba, where is so and so? I don't find him today. Anas radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, his son passed away. His son passed away. Nabi alayhi salam said, Halla adhamtumuni. Why didn't you inform me? Nabi alayhi salam gets down from the pulpit. He goes to the home of the Sahabi. And Nabi alayhi salam said, then what's the problem? He was looking sad and depressed. He said, my son passed away. I am in my old age. He took care of me. Nabi alayhi salam morally supported him. How do you morally support someone? Allah forbid. Today there are so many bid'at in our community. When Ja'far bin Abi Talib had passed away. Today when a person passes away, believe me, my brother, we shed tears up to the point that the body is lifted. When you lower the man in the grave, it becomes a party for 40 days. Becomes a party. I mean, people who are living next door are looking forward to the meal. What did Nabi alayhi salam tell his sahaba?
There is a janaza in this house, not for them to feed you, but for you to prepare food as a community and make arrangements for that bereaved family. That is why the ulama have written that it is detestable for a person to partake of meals in a funeral home if you're living in that locality. But today people look forward to the chow. I mean, it's another function. It becomes a party. So, my brothers, let me, you know, there's so many thoughts that come to mind. I just want to leave you with the letter of condolence. Listen to this. The letter of condolence. How often do we aid people? Like someone said it so beautifully. He said, I don't know why people take flowers to a dead man's grave. He says, it takes the death of a person to acknowledge that he was a good man. The man is dead and gone. Those flowers will make no difference to the dead man. You want to praise him? My brother, you put flowers on your wife's grave. When she was alive, you never gave her a rose. And yet you are putting bunches every Friday. I mean, praise your wife while she's alive. Don't wait for her to die. What did my Nabi say? Uskuru mahasina mautakum. Speak about the good of the people, the person that has passed away. We gather the homes of janazas. We speak about sports and politics. It's a sad reality, my brothers. You know, my heart pains. You find the sisters are reading Quran, reading Surah Yasin. As men, we gather outside. We speak about sports, speak about politics. Read a Surah Yasin. Wallahi, don't get involved in ghiba. Nabi alayhi salam is in Medina. The great Sahabi Mu'adh ibn Jabal. His son passes away. He sends a message to the Nabi of Allah. What a Nabi Allah has given you and I. Nabi alayhi salam receives a message that the son of Mu'adh ibn Jabal has passed on. Nabi alayhi salam sends a letter of condolence to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. I quote to you this letter that has been recorded in many of the books of Ahadith. I quote to you the Arabic text, I will give you the meaning. Nabi alayhi salam writes in this letter, Min Muhammad Rasulillah. From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, ila Mu'adh ibn Jabal, to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, salamun alaykum, I greet you with the salams of Allah, fa'azzama Allahu laka al-ajra, wa'alhamaka al-sabra, wa'razaqana wa'iyaka al-shukra. May Allah grant you great reward. May Allah grant you the desired amount of patience, and may Allah favor you and I with gratitude. ثُمَّ عَلَمْ Then listen, O my Mu'az, أَنَّ أَنفُسَنَا وَأَمْوَالَنَا وَأَوْلَادَنَا وَأَهْلَنَا مِن مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْهَنِيَّةِ وَأَوَارِهِ الْمُسْتَوْدِيَةِ Our health, our wealth, our belongings, our children, this is the gift of the Almighty Allah. يُمَتِّعُنَا بِهَا إِلَى أَجْرٍ مَعْدُودٍ وَيَخْبِذُهَا لِوَقْتٍ مَعْلُومٍ O Mu'az, Allah allowed you to benefit from your son for a period of time. The time has now expired. ثُمَّ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا الشُّكْرَ إِذَا أَعْطَى وَالصَّبْرَ إِذَا بَتَلَى Allah has ordained gratitude on us when He favors us. Allah has ordained patience on us when He tests us. وَكَانَ بْنُكَ مِن مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْهَنِيَّةِ O Mu'az, your son was from the gift of Allah, a gift from the side of Allah. وَقَبَضَهُ بِأَجْرٍ كَبِيرٍ On the appointed time, not 1 second before, Allah has taken away your child from you. In sabarta wahtasabta. O Mu'az, if you are patient, there is great reward in store for you. Min Muhammad Rasulillah. This is the letter of condolence to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Nabi alayhi salam's daughter Zainab, when her child passes away, she sends a message to her father. Nabi alayhi salam came. He looked at his daughter Zainab. She was sobbing and crying like a little baby. Often people ask, Mawlana, what do I say? How do I console? These are the words of my Nabi. Nabi alayhi salam called his daughter. He sat her down and he said, Oh my daughter Zainab, Inna lillahi ma akhadh. To Allah belongs what He took. Walahu ma a'ata. And to Allah equally belongs what He gave you. To Allah belongs what He took. And to Allah equally belongs what He gave you. Wa kullun 'indahu bi ajrin musamma. Everything has a stipulated time. فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ Be patient and hope for reward by the Almighty Allah. إِنِّي مُعَذِّيكَ Oh my daughter Zainab, I am consoling you. La anni ala siqatin min al khuludi, walakin sunnatu dini. I am not consoling you because I will not die. You will die, I will die. This is the reality of life. What can I tell you, my brothers, other than what the great giant Imam Shafi'i had said? فَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. Listen, listen, this is the reality of life. This is the reality of life. فَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا. رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ. At times Allah will test you. He will take away your wealth. Allah will take away your beloved. Be patient and hope for reward by the Almighty Allah. There's so much more I could have told you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability that become the well-wishers of others. My brother, somebody is going through some challenge. You know, just give that person a courtesy phone call. I promise you, how often doesn't it happen? You know, people say, Maulana, I was in a hospital. You know, that man came to visit me every day. He said, not a single day has passed in the last 5 years. Every day I make dua for that man. You can't make a man smile, don't make a man cry. I always say this, and let me terminate on this. Not every one of us can do great things. Not everyone in this world can do great things. But every one of us can do simple things in a great way. May Allah inspire us with reality.